Now, in mid-April, you may recall, I hosted an hour-long panel discussion in front of a live studio audience around the issue of name and gender changes for transgender South Africans and the huge difficulties they were experiencing getting these changes processed by the Department of Home Affairs. The law entitles them to have it done, but in practice, it is another thing entirely. And we thought we'd take a few moments today to bring you up to date on one of the personal stories we shared with you that day, the story of Lucy, who at age 18 was living in limbo as she and her parents were sent from pillar to post. I want to start by just replaying a little bit of what Lucy told us that day to remind you of the impact on her life. How does it make you feel to be sitting here talking to us at 18, not having all of this resolved, not having the knowledge that the law recognizes you as the person that you believe yourself to be, feel yourself to be?
Yeah. Hi, Pippa. Thanks for having me on the show. It's really quite interesting to be a non-person, as it were. You're basically just in this state of, who am I here in this country where I can't get my driver's license, I can't get a job, I can't travel, I can't... It's almost as if all of the basic human rights that a human being should have, it's just like, oh, well, just sort of wait a bit, you know, just like it'll come through eventually, maybe. And every day it's as if the people in charge are like lying to me deliberately, where they're just saying, oh yeah, just wait a little bit, and my parents are like, I'm sure it'll be through next week, for a year.
I mean, from a practical point of view, you've finished school. Can you, for example, get your results verified because your name has changed? Can you, you can't get a passport, as you've told us, you can't apply for a driver's license. What are some of the other practical ways in which this has affected you?
Well, you know, obviously, not being able to get a driver's license is sort of just makes me feel like I can't be an adult human being. I can't be a person. And if I were, like you said, to try and get him a trick, I can't even write my exams because I don't have a name. I don't have an ID to confirm my identity. I don't. I can't. Like I said earlier, I can't travel. I can't confirm or deny my own existence to the world. It's almost being like in a chasm at the bottom of reality where you just sort of have to sit chained to paperwork and just sort of wait for it to go through.
So that was Lucy speaking to us in mid-April, and I wish I could say it was a quick fix after our show, but it wasn't quite that simple. However, we have had some good news in the past couple of days, and Lucy's mom, Cara, joins me on the line to talk to us about what happened next. Cara, it's great to have you on the show again, and I'm only sorry that it still carried on being a big problem after we had that round table. Good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you so much for having me back so that I can tell everybody, yes, the good news is that Lucy's name change did come through the
Fantastic.
Day before yesterday after, oh gosh, dozens of emails and phone calls and hair pulling. And they went down to Weinberg yesterday and it was confirmed that it's in the system and her name has changed. So now we can start the next journey.
Okay, well, that is the big question, because this is obviously a massive step forward for you and one that you've been waiting for so long to tick off the list, but it is just the first on that list. Let's first talk about what this means for Lucy personally before we talk about where to from here, Cara.
Well, she was quite, she was hesitant to believe us, obviously, when we told her that it had come through. But the relief on her face, Pip, I just listened to her talking, you know, what was that, 5 weeks ago, and just wanted to cry because I know how she has felt. She has been getting increasingly more depressed since she's been on the show because we all thought something would magically happen after that occurred. And the relief on her face was, it was, you could see, it was completely visible. Her shoulders dropped. She was just like smiling, and to be able to know that is now, she's been verified. For her, it's like she's been verified as a person. So unfortunately, I mean, we still have to wait because there's a whole series of things she still has to go through before she even get an ID. So she went down yesterday. And I do have to say, first of all, kudos to Weinberg. Yesterday, the Home Affairs Department was, my husband said, was incredibly respectful. They treated her with dignity. Everybody was helpful. It was a very smooth process. But we still had issues with everybody asking her whether she had had her surgery yet, which is not a requirement to get your gender changed. So that does need to be dealt with. But I would like to just thank the staff there for being very kind. There was especially Andil Skunana, who was the gentleman that helped my husband. Garth couldn't go on enough about him. He was kind, he was gentle, he was helpful, he made sure all the paperwork was done. So I would just like to take my hat off to him and thank him for making it a very smooth process for my daughter yesterday.
I mean, it's such a relief to hear that you finally got through this hoop, Cara, and I can just imagine what a relief it must be for Lucy. As you said, this is the first of many steps that still need to be taken, and you're going to tackle the issue of her legal gender change next.
Yeah.
Having been through what you've been through and now seen the name resolved, how hopeful do you feel, if at all, about how long that process is going to take?
I'm fairly hopeful because I think we put up enough of a stink. But the reason that I'm not 100% happy about this, I mean, I'm ecstatic that it's come through. But my feeling is there are, I'm sure, hundreds of people that are struggling because they don't have the support. They don't know the people. They don't have Dr. Pickstone Taylor calling Home Affairs for them. Mm-hmm. They don't have the Legal Resources Center and people like Mandy and Petra phoning Pretoria, sending emails, constantly hassling people. And so my feeling is, by going onto your show, just we need something to happen there for the training of the staff. I know I've talked to, there's other people still on our group that have been waiting 12, 14 months for something as simple as this. Now we're going to do the gender change. The gender change we're hoping comes through fairly quickly. Then she gets to apply for her ID. So this is still a process. She still doesn't have, she can't get her ID till the gender's changed. Mm. So it's just, it's more waiting. We're very happy that the first hurdle's out of the way. But it should all be seamless. It is a simple process that should not take months and months and months, and certainly not years, the way some people have to wait.
I'm mindful that as we speak, of course, there is a new Home Affairs Minister who is taking over that department as of earlier this week. And I'm wondering how, if at all, that might change things. There are so many messes at Home Affairs that need to be fixed, and this is certainly one of them. When you heard that there is a different minister in the portfolio, did that make you feel maybe this is a chance for them to get it right?
Well, I do know we've had some talk with Gender Dynamics and with the LRC regarding trying to put a plan of action together, and certainly he would be the first person that we would try and connect with. We had no luck getting through to anybody that was on your show, other than one email message. I mean, and those are the people that put themselves forward to contact. After your show, I sent 5 emails. We called a number of times and only got one email back asking for an ID number in early May and then never heard anything again. So I do believe that the people that they say that are in place also need to be trained up, and it should start at the top. So certainly if he's open to dialogue, we could put a whole panel of experts from our end together to just discuss sensitivity training, to discuss the fact that they're, you know, Garth luckily went to Home Affairs, and I would recommend anyone trying to do gender changes or name changes to take the relevant regulations from the Constitution with them, because they don't know it there. So Garth had he had the stack of Act 49, so he could point out, no, surgery is not necessary. And they were unaware of Act 49. So yes, it needs to start at the top. I do believe that the director should show some interest. I will be sending him Lucy's timeline, and hopefully I would get some follow-up on that, because it is continuing for us, because we're not at the end of the tunnel by any means.
But Cara Pearson, it's wonderful to hear that you are at least a little bit further into that tunnel, and thank you so much for sharing the good news with us on air today. Somebody asking me on the SMS, who is the new Minister of Home Affairs? It's our former Health Minister, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, who's been moved into that portfolio. So I really, really hope he's able to effect some change in an absolute mess of a department. Cara, our best wishes to Lucy, and good luck to you as you continue on that journey. Thank you so much for the update.